This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A jail boss finally is caught, but shoots herself and dies before she's cuffed. The inmate she was with is now in isolation, shackled. Questions abound. There's also a lot of questions about some Americans who were found dead at a resort in the Bahamas. And Ukraine says Russian missiles hit hotels and a mall in Odessa. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, just start to another week here in the beginning of May. Hard to believe, right? Time is so flying so fast in 2022. Somebody told me one time, it's the years that fly, the days are long. I thought that was a pretty good explanation. It's been a lot of long days for those that were on the manhunt trying to find Vicky White, the Alabama ex-corrections officer who escaped with an inmate. She died actually in the hospital from injuries that she sustained after a self-inflicted gunshot wound when the car that she was in was being chased by officers and crashed and rolled. And with that wreck, the inmate, Casey White, who was driving the car, was pulled out. She was trapped. They did pull her out, but she was pinned inside. But she did have a gunshot wound because she pulled out a gun and shot herself. So there were a lot of things that happened during these 11 days for this nationwide manhunt, even though they really believed it was somewhere in the Midwest and at least a couple of states up from Alabama, when I say up, going north. So some surveillance footage helped. There were little breadcrumbs along the way, but the surveillance footage of the inmate, Casey White, actually hosing down a car was what part, it was part of what tipped off the police in that area to go after him and her and to find them. They were in Evansville since May 3rd, they believe, in Indiana, and a lot of days, and it was very lucky that they stumbled on them, and it was really catching him in that stall and the self-service, you know, hose down at the car wash. So the escape was well planned. It had to have been and calculated. It looked like there was some preparation into it because she had cash. They had cars. They had what they needed to make it happen. But how does somebody who spends her life in that position think that she can escape and escape with him and nobody's going to catch it? And sure enough, it wasn't the first time he escaped a detention center, but certainly with her. And once investigators were notified that the 2006 Ford F-150 had been discovered at a car wash, that was when it all started to fall apart for them. That security camera, those images that the U.S. Marshals were able to see, the tip that they got. So before she died, she was facing forgery. Vicky White was facing forgery, identity theft charges in Alabama, and also the charge of permitting or facilitating escape, if you will, in the first degree. That was filed all last week after she left prison, saying she was taking him, the inmate, for a mental health evaluation, and it wasn't even scheduled. They had no idea. It wasn't even scheduled. They just assumed it was, because why would she say that? And that she was going to get some medical care after dropping him off, because she didn't feel great. And she obviously felt really good, because she took off with him, and they had some kind of a plan that worked and put together. It was well put together and took off, and the preparation had to be there, and it was clear, because they would have been able to catch them, I think, much earlier if there were even more breadcrumbs than the few that they left. So strange. It was her last day of work. Her retirement papers were never finalized, though. So nobody, I think, was suspecting what would happen. And that's the end of that story. He faces more charges, and it'll be a very long time, if ever, that he gets out of prison. This is a very sad story. Four very excited people, two different couples who didn't even know each other, were at the same resort, thrilled to be there in the Bahamas, great weather, the pool, the drinks, the dinners, the inclusiveness of it, just relaxing on the sandy beaches and in the pool, and they're not coming home. Just one who is fighting for her life, although it looks like she'll make it. These four people who were there, the one couple, the Phillipses from Tennessee, were declared dead at the resort. Then there was another couple who the husband, Vincent Chiarella, just 64, was found unresponsive. He was in a separate room from his wife. And she was found enough that she was, she woke up, her legs and her arms were swollen, she couldn't move, she screamed and screamed and screamed, somebody came in and they airlifted her and got her to a hospital in Miami. So now there's just nothing but questions from the family as to what could possibly have happened. So samples were taken. They're being sent to a lab, or were sent to a lab in Philadelphia, so they can figure out what in the world happened, that these totally unrelated, didn't know each other couples were in separate villas and they died. That they something happened to them that killed them. Not good for a resort that a lot of people go to. A lot of people go to these sandals resorts, especially this one in the Bahamas. And, of course, what are they going to do? They just released a statement saying nothing's more important than the safety of the guests, and that they're investigating and they're doing everything that they can possibly do. The toxicology report will tell what happened. But what a terrible thing for those families. You know how it is, and your parents are in their early 60s, and it's that time where they're celebrating things. They've been together for a long time, which was the case of both of these different couples. So they're supposed to be having a great time, and yes, things can happen in his life, but not like that. When all of a sudden, you know you're not right. You are responding to something not feeling right to you. So you go to a clinic, you get checked out, but that's it. And then within 8 hours, you are gone, and there's nothing but question marks, nothing but question marks. Ukraine, the latest there, if we just took one area, a shopping mall and two hotels were hit by Russian military strikes on Monday in the southern port city that we've talked about before of Odessa. They were fired from a plane. They hit a tourist infrastructure target. Two people were hospitalized from the missile strike. It's lucky that there weren't more. There was significant damage at the hotel in the village in the area, and there was a second hotel that had damage as well. Why were they targeted? What could it possibly mean? Shopping mall was hit by seven missiles. Five people were wounded. One person died in that missile strike. It never ends. And yet the sanctions continue. Anything to choke off Putin. World leaders got together at G7 summit over Zoom. We'll see what it yields.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Conversation with Greg Stebbin. Greg, thanks as always for coming on the show and giving us the scoop on what you've seen as you have boots on the ground, so to speak. And you were in the Ukraine. You went to the Ukraine-Poland border, and it's interesting. Paint us sort of the picture of what you've seen and what you saw over the weekend.
Well, I'm gonna tell you about some things, and you have to be careful to draw conclusions based on what I'm about to describe. So I did go to the Poland border. I did cross over into Ukraine. I did this twice, actually, over the last 2 days. And what's really striking today is there are very few people at this border crossing, which was one of the most significant ones 2 months ago. There are very few people coming over from Ukraine, and I've been there at, I'd say, almost every hour. I've been there at night. I've been there in the middle of the day. What is also interesting is there are actually more people going back into Ukraine than there are people coming out. And the reason I say you have to view this information with a bit of caution is it doesn't mean that there won't be periods where there are large numbers of refugees again. It's just that right now, things are pretty quiet. Why? Because the fighting, I think, is isolated, but that, of course, could change. And the other thing that I understand is many of the original refugees have found that it's difficult to find work, it's difficult to find housing, and because Russia has begun to be more focused in the areas where they're fighting, people are feeling that, you know what, it's actually better to go home and pick up my previous life to the degree that I can, with the hope that the fighting doesn't begin to spread across the country again.
Ooh, how interesting is that? I like what you said there, too. You can draw your own conclusions or not draw any conclusions, but it's your observations. If the fighting ramps up in certain areas, that could change because you know that map has shifted. So I assume that might be some of it, too, that's probably part of what you're seeing.
Well, you know, I hate to say this because I think it's a statement about the war itself and how long it could last. But in a way, the refugee situation has become kind of institutionalized. I think if you look at the people who are leaving Ukraine now, and I'm really just speculating, you know, this is my observation, it's not scientific, but I think now even the people who are leaving, they understand now what the journey is going to be like once they get to the border. You know, the trip to the border could be very dangerous. It depends on where they're coming from. But I'm sure they know from friends and family who have already made the trip, once you get to the border, this is going to happen. They're going to feed you. They're going to put you on a bus or a train. They're going to send you here. They're going to feed you again. They're going to provide you with housing. So I would imagine there's a higher level of trust and a lower level of fear. That's a good thing. I think that means that people can travel without this sort of overwhelming sense of the unknown about what's going to happen next. I think it's sad because it when things get institutionalized, it means they tend to get normalized. And my fear has always been, and you and I have talked about this, that this war just goes on and on and on, and that the rest of us kind of forget about it. And that's a signal to Vladimir Putin that they're not paying attention anymore. Let's really ramp it up. We have to keep paying attention because these are still real people fleeing for their lives.
Absolutely. Well said. And that area that you're talking about, is that the Medica crossing?
That's exactly right. On one side of the border, it's Medica. It's been one of the major, it's Medica. It's been one of the major crossing points. And, you know, today, if you were to, let me draw a comparison here, too, because this is really interesting. If you were to walk across the border, it might take you 10 minutes to get across the border either way. There'd be a short line to go through passport control, and then, boom, you'd be on the other side. What's interesting is if you want to drive across the border from Poland back into Ukraine, I'm guessing it's more than a 24-hour wait. There is a line of cars kilometers long, and not just cars, trucks towing brand new cars, and literal auto transports towing multiple cars into Ukraine. And I've spoke to various people about why there are so many new cars being towed into Ukraine, nice cars, expensive cars. And I've come up with one of two explanations. One is that so many cars have been destroyed in the fighting that Ukrainians need more cars. I'm not sure that makes sense. If I'm in the middle of the war, I'm not going to replace my old car with a brand new car because there's a good chance the new car is going to get destroyed too. There may be some kind of, the second explanation is there may be some kind of EU or other kind of duty-free or tax benefit to taking a car into Ukraine and then selling it from there. I can't understand any other explanation for dragging all these cars into Ukraine, and I can't imagine that there's a big market for them right there. But it points to a larger thing, which is it's part of the normalization of the war. Now business people are looking at Ukraine and saying, how can I make money from these circumstances? And again, I think that normalization plays into the benefit of Putin hand, and I don't want to give him any benefit of anything at all.
No. And one of the things that you've been doing that's wonderful is the money that you're raising for ambulances for Ukraine. What is that like, and how's that been going?
Well, it's going great. We're working with an organization called BE for Ukraine. BE stands for Belgium. And this is a group of Belgians who came together at once the invasion happened. This is an organization that didn't even exist 2 months ago. Yet in that short period of time, they, and with our help and the help of lots of others, they've raised over $1 million, which is largely going towards buying new ambulances for Ukraine. Well, why ambulances? Because unlike how we think of the use of an ambulance, which is for transport, you know, you're sick or you have a car accident and it takes you to the hospital, In Ukraine, the ambulances are being used as mobile hospitals. So right there on the battleground, you're injured and you don't have to go to a hospital. Right there near you is an ambulance serving as a mobile hospital to care for you. Of course, the Russians know this too. So one of the things they're doing is systematically destroying ambulances. So BE for Ukraine and other organizations like it are trying to replace those ambulances as quickly as they get destroyed. And I was actually with the BE for Ukraine team about a week and a half ago. They were delivering 6 brand new ambulances into Ukraine. I saw the ambulances. They're beautiful. That one of the things that's interesting is these ambulances cost $55,000, but they're stuffed with $25,000 or $30,000 worth of donated medical supplies. So the value to Ukraine is more like $80,000 or $85,000. And all this money is being raised by people like you and I, Kate. And if you want to donate, we've set up a real easy-to-get-to website. It's, you know, the organization I'm with is called BEAMS. You go to BEAMS.live. It's BEAMS.live/ambulance. And you can donate there, and every dollar we collect goes towards those ambulances because we want to help the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian army in every way that we can.
Love it. And you're still doing that show every day. That's at themes.live.
That's right. I am doing a show every day on the situation here, themes.live. And we've had some amazing guests from Ukraine, from Poland, even from the U.S., and you really get a sense, particularly from the Ukrainian guests, about what it's like over there for regular people like us. I interviewed a woman from the Odessa Humanitarian Volunteer Center last week. This is just a group of volunteers that came together since the invasion, and they're literally making things like body armor. And these are not people that ever made body armor before, or they're making sleeping bags. You know, the woman I was talking with is like a business executive. She doesn't have a job anymore. She needs to support the Ukrainian army. So she's learned how to make sleeping bags, and now she's managing other people making sleeping bags. And she was telling us in the course of the interview, you know, life has returned to some level of normal in Odessa, but it's still being shelled. So she was telling us one night she was driving to meet some friends at a restaurant from dinner and thinking, how glorious is it that, you know, we could sort of return to normal life and eat in a restaurant and meet friends. And there was some kind of shelling right behind her car as she was driving to the restaurant. And she thought to herself, what do I do? And she realized, there's nothing I can do. I should just keep driving and go have dinner with my friends. If I'm going to die today, I'm going to die today. That's the state of things in Odessa.
Wow, wow. Well, stay safe, my friend. Thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing and jumping on the air with us as well. Greg Stebbin, take care.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be here.
And check them out, beams.live, beams.live. Wow, just wonderful to hear the stories to get you a sense of, hey, let's just go to dinner because we're being shelled. Wow.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
The shortage of baby formula continues.
40% of the nation's supply is now out of stock, with the number higher in states like Texas, Tennessee, Missouri, Iowa, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Dr. Diane Hess spoke to CBS News about what parents can do to feed their babies.
But there are formulas available, so there might not be the brand name. So there might be a shortage of Enfamil, and there might be a shortage of Similac, but you can get the store brands, which are excellent. The Target, the Kirkland, the Kroger, the CVS, Walgreens, they all come out of the same factory. They're all FDA approved. They meet the same standards that regular Similac and Enfamil do.
As Americans gear up for summer road trips, the price of gas continues to go up with no end in sight. AAA says drivers are paying an average of $4.37 for a gallon of regular gas. This is USA Radio News. Conservatives on Twitter are accusing President Joe Biden of gaslighting the American people. Biden's Tuesday speech, which attempted to outline a plan to attack inflation, blamed Russia's invasion of Ukraine for the economic woes facing the U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called out the president.
These Democratic price hikes will likely be American families' new normal at the checkout counter. They took an economy that was ready to soar, turned it around, and drove it into the ground.
Meanwhile, Senator McConnell's colleague, Republican Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, said he'd introduce legislation which strips Disney of its special copyright privileges. The Copyright Clause Restoration Act would limit the length of copyrights Congress gives to corporations to 56 years and would apply retroactively. This comes after a public battle between Disney and Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
For a conversation with Sack, S-A-K. I love that nickname. His book is called Time of the Oak, an autobiographical fantasy novel. I'm just going to set this up to tell you, Shakespeare did not write Shakespeare, because it's not possible. That's just one of the many things that are uncovered in his book, which I think is so fascinating. Sack, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What made you decide you were going to write this book?
Well, I've tried to write books in the past, and I always got bogged down, and they weren't as good as I wanted them to. And then when COVID came in 2020, I thought, well, I can't go out. I will self-isolate, and I will write the book. And that's what happened.
So when you sat down and decided you're going to write the book, what made you decide to tackle the book this way? How'd you come up with the story?
Well, as I say, it was based partly on fact. And I'd always had this worry about Shakespeare. And the first, at Stratford-upon-Avon, outside the theatre that bears his name, there is a statue of William Shakespeare. And to me, it's very odd, because the figure, to me, looks like a woman who has strapped her breast down to try and look like a man. And this makes some sense, because in Elizabethan times, women weren't allowed on the stage. So why did Shakespeare make all his strong characters women? When women were not allowed on the stage, yet all his good strong characters, Lady Macbeth, Ophelia, and Desdemona, are all strong females. And it fascinated me. So I came up with this theory.
And I love the theory, and you fleshed it out even better. You talked about who do you think really wrote some of this, and what do you say?
Yes, because, you see, a lot of his plays are set in Italy. Now, what would a man in Elizabethan England, who'd never been out of the country, and there weren't things like travel brochures or the internet which he could research, how did he have such an intimate knowledge of Italy? Well, of course, Elizabeth I was fluent in Latin. I mean, the first thing she wrote, she translated her mother's prayer book from Latin into English. And she had all the connections. So it made perfect sense to me.
I love it. In this story and how you formulated the story, did it kind of just pour out of you? Or where did that come from, all of pulling this together?
Well, it's odd. You are a writer, and I don't know if it happens to you, but the book actually took on a life of its own. And one reason why I enjoyed writing it was I wanted to know how it would finish, because it wasn't going anywhere like I thought it would. And it fascinated me, and basically it just came.
Do you have a favorite character or moment in the book?
Oh, I love Good Queen Bess, because we do then have a very good relationship. And there is, obviously, there's a little bit of time travel, but also I bring her in to modern England so she can compare her life with that of her namesake, our present queen. So she's very much a favourite, but by far the most important character, and the one I really relate to, is Helg, who is the Viking. And as I say, he lives throughout.
Yeah, and the Viking times are so interesting, and weaving that into us, is there something that you discovered in kind of doing some of the research for this that really kind of, I don't know, blew you away or was interesting?
No, oddly enough, I was working in Saudi Arabia, and living in the camp, there was an American, but he was a Norwegian American, and his name was Helg, and he was this big, stocky man, just as you imagined a Viking, who had legs like oak trees. He had a white beard, long flowing hair. And I actually put him in one of my paintings. And I thought, this character can't just go away. And so the book was based on him.
Wow, I love it. When people pick up your book, and the book is Time of the Oak, an autobiographical fantasy novel, and it's written by Sack. You can find it easily on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from cracking open your book?
Well, I hope they have take away lots of things. One, I hope they take away a sense of peace and love. I hope they enjoy the love story. Do you know who Boadicea was?
That's the one I did not know.
Oh, Boadicea was the queen of an English tribe called the Iceni, who lived in Roman times. And she was very fierce about the Romans, and she really killed a lot of Romans because they betrayed her husband and killed her husband. So what happened was that Helga, if you remember, has said to him, you will stay in the past however long you want, but don't try to change history. And then the family, the Roman family he was with, was going to move to London. And he thought, London, because the husband, a soldier, would have to fight Boadicea. And he didn't want them to go. And so he, and that's when he came back from Roman Britain. So she was an English queen against the Romans. She had chariots with knives on the wheels, and there's a big statue of her on London Bridge to this day. So that's who she was.
Wow. So I just got a great history lesson there. I got to remember that when I come over. It's wonderful. See, that's part of this book. This book, as much as, you know, it's Time of the Oak, an autobiographical fantasy novel, there's so much historical references in it. So I get a sense that you're a fan of history.
I do enjoy history, but there are other things in. I also believe in love, and there's a couple of love stories in it. But what I want to say about also, love is like the worst enemy. And do you know why it's like the worst enemy?
Why?
Because it can strike anywhere, anytime. It knows no boundaries. It knows no class. It knows no race. And it strikes anywhere, anytime, without warning. And so there's a lot based about that little theory as well.
Yes, that's one of the overarching themes in the book. Will you write another book? I got to think there's more in you.
Well, I think so. I think so, because I do enjoy it. I might do a few short stories, because I've got some short stories within me. So,
and we'll see where they take us. But this definitely, it's interesting, and even added the fact that you added time travel to it is fascinating. And I know a lot of people in this audience are always intrigued by time travel. Was that a fun piece to write?
Oh, that was a hugely fun piece to write. And the reason why it's called Time of the Oak, obviously I won't spoil the ending.
Right.
Also, the oak tree, remember, is Helm's vehicle for travelling in time. It's both his prison and his vehicle for travelling in time.
Which is brilliant. And we could talk all day, but we would give away too much of the book. So Time of the Oak, an autobiographical fantasy novel. Sack, what a delight to have you on. What a delight to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Can I just say one thing to clarify?
Sure.
Because when I say fantasy, I don't mean fantasy in the J.K. Rowling sense, which is wizards, and magic wands and so on. It's fantasy in a make-believe life, in the old-fashioned word of fantasy, just to clarify it for people.
Right, absolutely. Thank you so much. You can get the book again on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on, Zach.
My absolute pleasure, and thank you very much for taking an interest. I'm very grateful to you.
Snow, let the mountain flow. No more wait and see. Come on, shake the bones. You can feel them fall. They can meet your call. Don't know. Maybe they'll go.
those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out, just $29.99 for both my hard copy books, Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This story will so touch your heart, and this book, amazing. Love, Abby, a memoir of an undying spirit. Molly Iverson joins us. Hey, Molly, thanks for coming on. Wow, what a special book. First of all, tell us why you wrote the book about your daughter, Abby.
I wrote it as an inspiration to people. She was quite the woman. And also it was, I wanted to be able to donate the funds to the University of Iowa research for sarcoma cancer. And after reading her blog again, I thought, people need to hear this.
And she was somebody who, as a child, was diagnosed not to live very long, right?
Right. She had a neuroblastoma, which was a tumor on her adrenal gland. She had a 20% chance of survival. We doctored at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And she survived and had a normal childhood and graduated from college and went on to become a pediatric nurse. And then got a tumor on her sciatic nerve, which was a sarcoma. And that's where the story begins, the book.
Yeah, and what happened when that happened? I mean, gosh, having this great gift of boom, it's gone. Hey, we foiled the doctors, moving on, life is good. And she had this great spirit, people were attracted to her, and she was pursuing her life. And then she gets this curveball, then what happened?
Well, then she doctored for 5 years and was not going to let cancer define her. And she had many, many ups and downs. And in her blog, she would write, you know, another bump in the road. And then later it would be good news and good news. A scan would show the tumors which had spread after she had to have her leg amputated in order to give her a better chance of survival. And but it did still spread. And so that's where her life went.
But even though she was going through that, how did she treat people and what was life still like for her?
Oh, I remember saying something to her once. I said, when she had to make the decision about having her leg amputated, I said, oh, it kind of makes having your breast removed not such a big deal. And she said, oh, yeah, Mom, that is still a big deal. That's the way she treated people. And everything that they had going on was a big deal. And she didn't, you know, make, because what she had was, it was a big deal. No, everything could be, but there's a way to deal with it.
Yeah. And, you know, the title, Love Abby, A Memoir of an Undying Spirit, what else was it about her that she had that spirit? Her essence, what was she like that people thought that about her?
Well, she had a great faith. She was just outgoing. Everybody loved her because that was her personality. She was easy to love. That's what I told her once. And everybody loved her. I don't know how to even describe, but she was also very determined to make her life as good as possible. And I think that's what people liked about her, her positive spirit.
Yeah. What do you hope people take away from reading this book?
Oh, that, you know, life is tough. Life can be hard. But there's a way to get through things, and Abby can show you the way. She knew that she was stage 4 cancer. She knew she was not going to get over this, but there was always hope, and that, you know, she lived 5 years that the majority were good years.
And even in that time, in that time period, she got married, right?
Yes, she found, she had met a doctor when she worked at the hospital, and then, of course, she wasn't able to work when she was going through so much treatment, but somehow they met up again. And she was married for a little over 2 years before she died.
Wow.
And he was so good to her. They got to travel, and, you know, he just did everything for her, and he missed her a lot.
Yeah, what a wonderful gift for her, though, and to travel and to see all those places. For you, was pulling this book together and getting to know her maybe even better by going through everything that she wrote, was this kind of a gift to you, or was it cathartic for you? What did that feel like, putting it together?
It was mostly a high for me, because I knew people that had read the book before I actually published it said, you know, this was the most inspiration I've ever read. And that was my whole goal. You know, I wanted people to be inspired by her. There were some sad, there's definitely sad parts in the book. But her motto was one thing that made me want to do it. And it was in the end, it will be okay. If it's not okay, it's not yet the end. And she, that's how she lived her life.
That's a great motto to live by. The book Love, Abby, A Memoir of an Undying Spirit, Molly Iverson, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
What an inspiring story. So imagine what she went through, as we just discussed there, and yet kept doing everything she could do to enjoy whatever life that she had. There is something about that when you are in the doldrums, you wake up and you're complaining about, let's face it, right, the everyday nonsense. Imagine if you dealt with what she was dealing with. And I think it's wonderful that her mother pulled all those blogs together and put it out there in the world. All right, what I don't think is wonderful is now what we're seeing with the hospitalizations, that they've gone up 8.6%. This is COVID cases. So we're starting to see an uptick, a trend here. And even Carnival passengers had to quarantine in Seattle because there was an outbreak on a cruise. And now the CDC is reiterating the importance of masks on airplanes and public transportation. But here's the thing. People are so burnt out. They're so weary. I mean, let's be honest. I'm weary. Are you weary? I see it. Somebody I know who was somebody who masked up immediately, was so afraid of any germ you can even imagine, said to me, I'm done. I'm just done with this. I'm not dealing with it. And that's the feeling. And part of that is the back and forth with what's being said. And here's ultimately what we know. We don't know what we don't know. I mean, right? It sounds like a cliche and a ridiculous thing to say, but that's part of the problem here. So now we got, just the other day, this recommendation to wear masks on planes. People aren't wearing, for the most part, there are some people that are doing it. But there aren't a lot of people doing it because of the federal judge's order last month that struck down the federal transportation mask mandate. Now the CDC is saying, oh, this is an important tool to stop the spread, and you should wear a well-fitting mask or respirator in indoor public transportation areas and transportation hubs and just protect yourself because of you're in these mixed population settings. But now it's not that. In polls, pretty much like everything else in our lives, people are split on the need for face coverings. People are split, even with the rise in cases. And so what does that mean? You know, do we let it expire, and then we look at Omicron, and then we look at the next variation, and is there another variation? And, you know, the bottom line in all of this is there is a divide between those who do and don't have serious medical conditions, health conditions. The people who do think that the mandate should be preserved, well, a lot of them have conditions. The people who don't have conditions. I mean, there's a little bit of a narrowing of the divide, but it's there for sure. Keep your fingers crossed. This goes in the opposite direction. Meet you on the flip side.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.